Okay.
And I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the, you know, indirect related to college writing. You know, reading is kind of easy. A lot of kids can do that. But for writing, it's kind of daunting sometimes in the social
Definitely.
So
Definitely.
In your case, in your personal experience, how do you develop this kind of interest
in writing?
Better writing skills?
Reading is a good one. I'm lucky that I like writing because the college application process was less painful for me, but it was still very painful for me. Like I said, I was banging my head against the wall with my color guard essay because I could not write it. And sometimes I think it was even more painful for me because I held myself up to a high expectation because I was like, I'm the writer. I should be able to do this. Why can't I do this? And then I realized that everybody was having that struggle. And so if you're not a writing person, you don't like writing, it's okay. Because they have to accept some math majors. And those math majors, not all of them can possibly be William Faulkner's, or they can't all be Ernest Hemingway, you know? And so, you know, your prose, the style of your writing is less important than the content, but it's, you just have to be able to form grammatically correct sentences, you know? Not make really juvenile errors, because that shows lack of control. How do you develop an interest or like a skill at writing? Reading is a good thing if you like reading. It always helps. People who read a lot tend to be better at writing because they understand how language works.
Read
higher level books, not like Twilight. Don't read Twilight.
Thank you.
Don't read Twilight.
Thank you.
Harry Potter is a wonderful, wonderful book, and it actually is quite high level in its vocabulary, but not really. Like, start reading classics and things, not just for class. Like, take some time to find some really good books. Nonfiction, if you're, you know, there's some really interesting nonfiction books out there. Get into a genre and read, and that way you can learn how to just, you see language in action. And then strictly from learning how to write is just to write more. It's to write and then rewrite. There's a quote that I always like. It's called, I'm from a famous writer who I can't name, but it's, I'm a terrible writer, but I'm an excellent rewriter. So it's the idea that you have to edit. And the people who I know who wrote the best essays wrote them several times over and scrapped the first ones. The kid who's going to Harvard, I read his first essays and I was like, these are really not good. This is bad. You don't understand how to write a college essay. Because I was like, this is a list of your accomplishments. What are you doing? And he's like, oh my God, you're right. And then so he kind of learned as we interacted with each other to not do that, to not write about your accomplishments necessarily, and to not write about, not to explain a bad grade. Like, some people feel like they want to explain themselves, like, this is why I failed calculus, you know. And that's not necessarily the best tone to take. It's very risky to be arrogant and bigoted, like, kind of like, you know, very self-confident. A little bit of self-confidence is nice, but to when you come off like that in your writing, it can kind of turn people off, you know.
How can you tell?
You can tell. Like, it's the idea of listing, being a braggart, like listing your accomplishments or saying things about yourself, like, and with my experience climbing Mount Everest, I realized that I was, you know, like, capable of anything. And that tone is kind of, it bothers me, and for some essay readers, it'll bother them. And I guess I can get into the kind of like the ins and outs of what I know goes on in those dark, murky rooms called the college admissions office. Colleges do it differently. I hear in the UC system, you get points. So there's actually like a rubric where they grade you like, oh, experienced a difficulty, plus 400. You know, like that. It's really kind of weird. Like, if you've experienced a challenge and you write about it in your essay, you get plus points for UCs. Fun fact. I got that from a college admission counselor who charges $3,000. He told me for free because I was investigating him for a journalism article. I was like, I want to write about your company. That's a long story. But I write for the paper. That's one of the activities I did. And I was asking him questions about the college application process, and he threw that one out. So UC's point system. Private colleges, completely arbitrary. I have no idea what goes on. I know that in Princeton, and I think in a lot of upper Ivy Leagues, what they do is that they'll get a committee together, and the committee will read your application, all of it, and then they'll vote on you, like a bill. and say, like, I think this person should go. And then somebody might lobby for you, like, I really like this person. This is why. And then somebody will be like, yeah, I guess so, and they'll change their vote, and then you're in. That's really arbitrary. So basically, I pretty much got into Princeton, I feel, by luck, because somebody out there said, I like this person. And I got rejected from Harvard and Brown, and I got waitlisted from several places, Columbia. I'll talk about waitlist later. Somebody, I got lucky, somebody liked me. And you want to put your best foot forward, but after that, you can't really blame yourself, because there's no knowing what they're thinking, how it does it. I know people in the Harvard application system, they give it to their interns first. The interns look them all over, and they sort them into look at them, don't look at them. So basically, they're getting the most inexperienced person to throw out essays. And it's like, you're playing with people's lives here, and it's just like, that's a rumor. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard it from somebody who went to, who worked as one of those people, the people who sorted the essays into the look, don't look categories. And so I don't know if that's still a practice putting in place. He was much older than me, so that could have been done away with. But this is just the kind of secrecy they work in. And that's where they get their biggest strength. As a college admissions officer, you hold all this power because you get to keep all the secrets. You know, you decide who gets to go places. And the biggest deal is to not stress about that. It's just to put your best foot forward. A lot of people try to play games, and like, there's a you might hear about this later, but some people like to switch majors for different colleges. Like, they'll apply for a major that's not very popular in one college because they want to get into the college, and then they'll be like, oh, I'm switching later. Like, one of my friends applied for like agricultural sciences and got into Cornell on that, but now she's having difficulty trying to actually go into her real major that she actually wanted, which was biology, which is one of the most competitive majors. But she applied under a different major, and she's like, can I switch? And they're like, you said you were doing this. And they're like, she's like, oh crap, you know? And so they play these games, and even if you win at them, you're losing in a way, because you're being admitted for something that's not really you. You know, you're being, if you want to play the game and try to get into Harvard because you feel like it is, you know, you want to be in a prestigious college, you might get into Harvard and realize that you hate everybody there because they are not your personality and they're not someone you want to hang out with. And you might be miserable, you might drop out, you know? And my biggest thing about college applications is you have to look at the colleges based on their fit for you as a person, your interests. Major is really important. If you know what you want to do, look for colleges that have your major. I have a friend who is going to Georgetown because she wants to major in business. And she did not apply. She was like, I'm not going to Princeton, Harvard, or Yale. That is not me. I'm not good enough for that. And so her dad was, she's Asian. Most of the people I'm talking about are Asian. Just to let you know. Her dad was like, oh, okay. You know, like, it's kind of disheartening for a lot of Asian parents to hear that their kids say, I'm not getting into Harvard. You know, I won't do that. But then he was like, well, let's look at the best business schools in the country. And so they looked at a lot of the business schools. You know, she looked at NYU Stern, she looked at Georgetown School of Business, and she looked at places that fit her interest. I have a lot of friends who want to be international relations majors. So they applied to Georgetown, they applied to American, they applied to Tufts. And these are colleges that are good. They are very good colleges for that very specific major. So you don't have to apply to colleges just based on their prestige. You can look at colleges that fit your interests more. And that will help you in the long run make decisions about where you want to go. Where was I? What other things about the college apps? Does anyone have any questions, follow-ups to things I've said? Can I go tangential?
That's a very good point.
Yes. It's a point that I want to make because a lot of Asian parents get wrapped up in the ranking, the college ranking, like, oh, look, Harvard and Princeton are up here. And honestly, I didn't think I was going to get into Princeton, and I kind of didn't, at the time I applied, wasn't too interested in going. It was something like, I'm probably not going to get in, so I'm not going to invest too much. My dream school was Columbia, and I got waitlisted from Columbia, as did my friend who got into Harvard. So that's a little bit weird story. But I wanted to do it because I liked the culture and I liked something and I felt it fit with me. But sometimes you don't get what you want. And so you have to be willing if your dream school is Stanford, Harvard, high up, you better find some really good number twos and number threes, like places that you would really want to go to. And so in the choosing where to apply, there's, I don't, how many of you have heard of the safety reach match idea? Okay, so you. The idea of a safety reach match is something that a lot of college application counselors will tell you. They want you to apply to two or three reaches, which are schools that are really hard to get into, that there's no way, the Harvards, the Princetons. But you, if you're really lucky. And some, for some people, their reach might be UC Berkeley. Like for some, for, I'm talking about like people who are not that academic, who don't really have done things. Some people's reach is UC Berkeley, and that's their reach. So it depends on you. And for some people, their reach could be Harvard. And then you apply to four or five match schools, which are colleges that are comfortable, you feel you're fairly comfortable and sure that you can get in if you tried really hard. That's the hardest thing to gauge, is like, where am I at? I can give you a couple of websites that actually do a sort of like, they will take your credentials and they'll show how likely you're gonna get in. I'm not sure how accurate they are, but it's a good gauge. So one of them is called capex.com, C-A-P-P-E-X.com. You sign up for an account and then you put in all this information, your SATs, your extracurriculars, what you've done, and then you click on a school and they'll say, how do I stack up? And they'll say like, you are in this, you know, like you're here, this is people who get accepted, you're here, 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 you know, they'll show you. Collegeboard.org, as much as we all hate the College Board, I am one of those people. I hate them so much for putting me through SATs and APs and everything, but the greatest thing they do is that they have a part of their website, collegeboard.org, that gives you all this information about colleges. That's how I started narrowing down my colleges, was to go to collegeboard.org, because they give you a quiz that basically is like, what's the best college for me quiz? And you put in all your interests and what you want in a college, and they'll spit you back a list of colleges that match your fit. And they also give stats like acceptance rates, demographics, cost to apply, majors. It's so good, and I wish I could bring it up just to show you how much information is there for free. 100% for free. You don't have to pay anything.
You pay for SATs.
You pay for SATs, that's true. But you don't have to pay them anything for all this information about colleges that they're giving you. Let's see. And that's a way to know that you're fit. So you have your safe, you have your reaches, your matches, and then your safeties, which are schools that you know you're going to get into. For some people, their safeties are UC Berkeley. Some people, their safeties are state schools. And it's good to have the safeties. When I did this college panel in Pleasanton, there was about 250 people, but we had 5 people. And we had the Harvard, the Princeton, the Georgetown, and then UC Davis and UC Irvine. And the greatest thing that I thought happened was the girl from UC Irvine said, Asian parents, we were all Asian parents, don't be afraid to send your kid to a state school. If they are the UC Davis, like if their reach is a UC, don't be afraid to send them to a state school. Because what they can do is, first of all, you can attend a state school for a couple of years and then transfer to a UC, and you've just completed your general education requirements at half the price, and then you can transfer to Berkeley or Davis or Irvine and then finish with a degree from a UC. So if that's where your kid is at and you feel that they're at that kind of level, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. I heard it's go to community college.
Oh yeah, and community college. That's a little bit...
No, community college and then transfer to UC.
It's very...
CSU and the UC, unless you say claim in the CSU, you cannot find the major you want.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the
yeah,
UC can offer that major and then you can transfer.
That's true. Junior college is a possibility. If your kid is reaching for a UC, is to go to a JC, spend less money, and then graduate 2 years and go into Berkeley. But for most of you, I think you guys are pretty comfortable at the UC level. I'm just guessing. Again, you little ones, I don't know where you'll be in 5 or 6 years when you have to apply. For you guys, I'm pretty sure you guys can comfortably get into most UCs. I can't say that for certain because UCs, people, colleges do weird things. And I'll tell you all the freaky college stories to kind of get you understanding how much of a draw it is, how much of a, like, how much luck is involved. I'll tell you those stories later. Any other questions about applications? I'm kind of going off tangent, but I'm going to talk about, well, a couple things I want to talk about are interviews, college interviews, and letters of recommendation, which are pretty important. Go ahead.
I'm wondering some other things like class rank, GPA, and AP tests.
Oh yeah, okay. So AP tests, they are self-reported. So you tell them which AP scores you got and how many you want to tell them is up to you. I think it's important to report very good scores just because it shows about you academically, but it's not, it's about weighted about the same as your college transcript. Your transcript, which has to do with class rank and GPA, I'll say is also less important than you think. Here's William Chen's sagely advice on class rank. He says, I do not recommend going through high school solely pursuing a high class rank. You'll be missing out on a lot. Sure, you get good grades, but don't let class rank be your measure of success. Focus on good relationships with your friends, your teachers, take the classes you enjoy, and put time into the extracurriculars you love doing. That's how you get the most out of high school, and that's what high school is for. So those people who are pursuing a high class rank, it sometimes backfires on them. You'll hear, there's actually very common story is that the person who has the highest grades or the second highest grades ends up going to Berkeley. And you're like, why is that? That makes no sense. Because GPA isn't everything, and it can't possibly be everything. I graduated with a 4.3, and I was ranked almost out of the top 10. I was number 10. And my class rank dropped, actually, throughout the year, because my GPA went up, but so many kids were taking AP classes that they jumped above me. And so the biggest joke was like, Vivian Chen's GPA is dropping faster than you can imagine. And I was like, thanks, guys. My class rank was dropping, excuse me. But it's an anomaly because at our school, the first valedictorian, William Chen, went to Harvard. Salutatorian number 2 went to Berkeley. Number 3, Berkeley. Number 4, Irvine. Number 5, USC. There's a little bit of ambiguity. Somewhere in the middle, there might have, one girl went to MIT. She was like somewhere in there. She might not even be in the top 10. But all the way down, mostly UCs and like second tier private schools, and then me, Princeton. I was like, what? It doesn't make any sense. And that just shows that GPA is not a good predictor, and class rank is definitely not a good predictor of anything. And class rank is only important if you're number 1 or number 2. If you're anything below that, it's a percentage. Like, are you in the top 1%, top 2%, top 10%? Because if you're in the top 4%, I think, of your class, the UCs have a thing called ELC, which basically means that they will automatically admit kids who are in the top 4%. A lot of the UC Davis, Irvine, Riverside, Merced, those UCs, with the exception of UC Berkeley and LA, a lot of the UCs will automatically admit you if you're in the top certain percent of your class. So that's the only time when it's really important, is that that's what you're going for. Private colleges, nothing. I can't say anything about class rank. It might not be important at all, because I know kids who were definitely not number 1, number 2, and they got into great schools being kind of lower ranked. It's a good, like I said, it's more like a threshold. So if you're in a certain percentage, that means a lot. If you look at the collegeboard.org, they'll show you 99% of kids who go to Harvard are in the top 10%. So that means something. It does mean something, but it's a threshold. Where you fall in that doesn't make a difference. What was the last thing you want to say? We got APs, class rank, transcript. What? That was it? Okay. Yeah, I forgot to touch upon that. Thank you. Go ahead.
I have a question very close to that one, the class rank and so on. For most of the parents, they want to send their children to the best school in the area.
Right.
But some people would say, hey, that may not be a good idea, because if all the good students go to the best school, the class rank might be lower. And if you send a child to a
high school, you mean.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Not that good school, he might be ranked on the top one.
Yeah, they take that into account, though. That's the thing. Colleges take into your school into account a lot, actually. When they send your, you have to send an application to your counselor, and what it is, if you can see it on the college common app, it will say, like, what's the highest GPA at your school, like, that you can possibly get, or that somebody has gotten in that year, and then what's the student's GPA. So they take into account. So the number itself means nothing. If the highest GPA at your school is a 4.0, like, no one ever got higher, and you get a 3.9, you are very good. If your highest GPA that somebody in your class has gotten is a 4.5, and you get a 4.1, that means less than the other person. So they ask you the average GPA of the high school. So, for instance, if your average GPA was a 2.5 and you're getting a 3.9, you are above and beyond the curve. This is how they admit students from schools that are not very good, is they look at the average. So it really depends on your school. It does. You're right. If you send your kid to the not as good school in the area for the sake of getting them into a good college, I'm not sure it will work. Because if you send them early, then they're not getting the education that they deserve. And that's, you're cheating your child out of it. If you're sending them their senior year, I think colleges can see through that. And they actually ask you for your previous school's transcripts too. So they'll see what the kid's like in both schools. And I'm sure they know about this tactic, and they've adjusted against it. They know everything. Just assume that they know everything about the cheating and the kind of, like, not cheating, but the maneuvering to kind of, like, the major choices. Assume they know it because they get thousands and thousands of applications, and they know these tricks, and so they've adjusted for them. I know they've adjusted for them because I know kids who've done that, and it hasn't worked. But sending your kid to the best school in the area will get them the education that they need if it's a really good school, if it's a really good environment for them. If they like it and that's what they want, then they'll get the most out of it, and they can write about that in their application, and it will shine through if they like their school. If you're sending them to a private school or something, or like sending them through these classes that they're not too passionate about, it doesn't matter how good the school is, they won't be performing to their best because they won't be liking it. So it's really about it's about developing an affinity for what you do in high school. The thing that really sets William Chen apart from a lot of students at our school is that he sincerely loved everything he did. He loved mock trial, he loved math, he loved everything. And what he did was he went out of his way to make the programs better. He expanded the Amador math team from this little group of nerdy kids to this, like, school-wide phenomenon of, like, you know, 40 people going and getting really high ranks. One of my closest friends is the president of robotics team, and they just placed 5th in the nation. They're the only high school. The top 5 were Cornell, MIT, University of Maryland, like these high-level colleges. And there's Amber Valley High School right up there, robotics, because he really, truly loved what he did, and he put everything into it. And so these are the type of kids that colleges want. They want kids who basically try to improve their school. I'm going to harken to William Chen here on college acceptances. And this is his favorite quote. Ask not what the college can do for you, but what you can do for your college. People sometimes get too entangled in what a college can offer them, and they ignore the point of view of the admissions counselor. Admissions counselors will love to admit someone that they feel confident could improve the college, someone that no one else could replace. How is an admissions officer sure that an applicant can improve a college? Is if they improve their high school. And so I think this is the best advice ever. Because it really says something about the whole college app, which is what makes a good college app is if the admission counselor reads it and says, if we don't admit this person, there is no one who could replace him. This person is just too unique. They're too weird, or, you know, they're too, like, they're just one of a kind. That doesn't mean that they're the best at everything they do, but that they're just very unique. And there's somebody we want on our campus who can help improve it in this, that, and the other way. And so your uniqueness and you is very important. And if you're someone who thinks, like, I kind of am like everybody else, like, I'm really the typical Asian, there's the fact that you're self-aware of that can help you. It can help you in the sense that you can you can find things that are uniquely you, like I said, in your college essays. You have to find those things because that's the only way that colleges, you know, if they're debating on you, that's the one thing that makes or breaks you, really, is like, can we find someone else? Can we find someone else who's just like this other Asian kid who wants to be an engineer, who's done this, that, and the other? And if they can, then they're choosing between, now they're choosing between, like, well, is this guy funnier, or is this guy more, like, they're making an arbitrary decision. You don't want that to be you. You don't want to be the roll of the dice, you know, like, heads, you don't want to, like, them to be flipping coins on you. You want to make sure that you put your best foot forward and your most unique.